Welcome to Amber Energy, the podcast. Each episode, we talk about what it takes to be the best entrepreneur you can be and how to take your business or your client's business to the next level when it comes to graphic design, branding, and so much more. Let's get started. All right. Hello, hello. Welcome to Amber Energy, the podcast. My name is Rachel Sedwick, your host, and I'm joined by my co-host, Amber Jacobs. Today, we are talking about some fun, more personal sides of things. I'm talking about working, being a working mom. So before we get into the subject, let's do our normal highlights from the week. So Amber, what is a highlight from the week that you have?
Highlight from the week is that I am working into round three. I got some feedback on a logo that my team is working on. And so we got some positive feedback. And so I'm stoked to have the team do some refinements and introduce some color palettes for our new client logo that we're working on.
Awesome. Yeah, it's always good when you get like positive feedback and you get to work on refinements versus maybe not so positive feedback and you have to begrudgingly going into those refinements. This way
It was kind of like they're definitely massaging kind of like two concepts together a little bit, but that's kind of par for the course and my like kind of collaborative process that we have.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's good news. My highlight from the week is, well, I guess it's only Tuesday. So like the last 7 days, I'd say I saw Spider-Man. So that was it's not professional or anything.
That was got really good reviews, like box office hits.
Yeah, right now. It was a really cool movie. And I like Marvel movies and I'm a Marvel fan, but I'm not like a big deal big Marvel fan like my boyfriend is. So he knew of all like the little details and he talked about all of the like, I don't know, just the funny nerdy things about the movie. So I get to kind of know that side watching it with him. So we had fun doing that. We went to a dine-in theater and had some dinner date night. So that was a fun highlight. And yeah, just had a productive Monday. So
sweet. It's all good. Like that's what I need with my husband. I need a nice date night.
Yes, you do.
I'm due.
Well, that ties into our topic, actually. So our topic today is working moms, being a working mom and being a professional boss babe business owner that you are. So why don't we start by you telling us a little bit about your kids, like basic stats, the rundown on the family situation.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. I have a 2.5, nearly 3-year-old son named Caden. And then I have a 6-month-old son named Easton. And so Easton's, you know, just popping teeth and rolling over. And Caden is, we endearingly call him Cadenado because he just ransacks the house really fast.
Yeah, he does that.
Yeah, crazy 2-year-old life. But they're both really amazing. So that's kind of what they're up to.
Yeah, they're good kids. What do you love most about being a mom?
I love most about being a mom is reliving sort of those childhood, those childhood moments kind of vicariously through them or like with them again, and like kind of like seeing how special everything is for the first time all over again, seeing it in their eyes, like how excited they get about everything.
Yeah. What's something that like recently you've seen like that, them getting excited?
I mean, it's like the list is endless.
Yeah. What'd you do this weekend?
Well,
with them.
What did we do this weekend? Which adventure did
we do? Polar Express, right? You go on. So for those of you that, you know, aren't close with Amber, she goes on a different like family excursion adventure every weekend. There's often multiple times things like that in a weekend. So I think this weekend you did a Polar Express situation.
We went to the Botanical Gardens light show.
That too.
The Garden of Lights light show. The train was last weekend.
Oh gosh. See, even I can't keep
and then
up
the weekend before that was the reindeer farm. So it's like, which adventure?
Yeah, there's so many. So this weekend you did the Botanical Gardens in Washington State where you are. There is a pretty beautiful and extravagant light show thing in the Botanical Gardens. I know I've gone to it with you before.
And they change it up a little bit every year. And I think this year was really fun because Caden like, it's like, was like really like excited and ran through it, you know, all the pretty lights, and he was pointing to all like the different dragonflies or frogs or, you know, whatever thing that was in there. And then he was like super happy and stoked about this like silly warm cup of hot cocoa. Like, he was just like, what, this is so great. And then it was just kind of fun, like seeing him just, like, be excited for the first time. You know, this is like 2.5, you know, nearly 3. So it's like, last year was good. And, you know, when he was 1, it was okay. But like, now that he's becoming like more interactive, more of a human. And, like, cognizant, I guess, about it all, it's kind of more exciting to watch him now.
That's awesome.
And he really loved also last weekend's train ride, being on a choo-choo train. Super stoked about that. It was an old fashioned, you know, 1910 steam engine. So he thought was the bee's knees.
That's awesome. I feel like you do a really good job, and we'll get into this a little bit more into the podcast, but you do a great job at balancing that business side of things. You're a business owner, but also making time for the mom stuff, like doing these excursions. You make sure that you have stuff like this on the books, because if you didn't, they wouldn't happen, right? And you'd just be like work mode all the time.
Yep. I think also, I'm also really good about keeping strict business hours. So that way in the evening, I don't jump back online. You know, so I'm really strict about my business hours. So that way, you know, evening time, afternoon time is family time. And that is the end of it. If you email me, you know, after 3, it can wait till tomorrow.
Yep, exactly. And I think that's an important boundary to set as not just a business owner, but as anyone, in the workforce as an adult. It's like, there's a time and a place, I guess, for being available all the time. But at the same time, you can make the same case for not being available all the time, because most things can wait at the end of the day. Yeah.
Like, it's more important, like, either your self-care or time with your family or times with loved ones or friends. Like, it's way more important than like being constantly like, you know, oh, I got a thing on the way. I got an email. And it says jump and you say how high all the time and dropping all those things to like go take care of that. Like, it's just not, I don't think that's overly healthy.
Yeah, it's not overly healthy. And it also, it allows the people that do that to you, like whether it's a client or a friend or a coworker or a boss or whatever you're dealing with, it allows them to kind of push those boundaries. So they might push a little bit and email you and get a response past your working hours. And then they realize, oh, I can do that more now. So I'm going to do it even more and more and more. And it just kind of snowballs, or it can, depending on who you're working with and what, you know, style they do or work
in. And it's just kind of like setting like those clear boundaries and expectations with clients. And also, but for me, it teases it up for me. I can work that evening hour or those weekends, but then that's where I charge a
rush fee.
Rush fee for my overnights and weekends, an additional rush fee to my hourly rate. And so it's just like, well, I can do that, but you know, it's after hours. And so I charge an extra rate for that.
Yeah. And whereas like, if you hadn't set those boundaries from the get-go of your working hours, you wouldn't really be able to say that to them, like charge that rush fee, even though you really need to, right? Because it is outside working hours and it's like outside of your original scope. So setting that original scope is so important.
Well, it just makes my clients have to second guess or like think about it a little bit more. I was like, do I really need this tonight? Can I wait till tomorrow during business hours? 9 times out of 10, I can.
Yeah. So in a way, you're teaching them balance as well. And while you're working on your own balance, you're teaching them balance. So it's a win-win, really.
I think so.
If you look at it,
I don't always like it, but that's just the end of it for me. Because I'm like, well, I value this after hours, and sorry you don't.
Good luck with that.
Love you long time.
Good luck with your life and being happy.
That sucks. Workaholic.
Oh man.
Or non-planner. Like, how is the deadline tomorrow? And like, you know, you're gonna drop it on me. Like, that's not my fault.
Yeah, sorry. Exactly.
So I can bail you out, but for an extra prize.
And, you know, some people might think that that's extreme, but in reality, it's like, you as a person, like, you have both sides of your life pretty well figured out. Like, you're a mom 24/7, of course, especially the fact that you work from home, your home is in your office. You had to lock your door before this podcast, just so baby wouldn't like come pushing through the door.
Oh, yeah. So the infant toddler would just knock down the door.
You know, he's 95th percentile. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Hulkmeister coming through.
Gonna bust through his like,
yeah, it's gonna be like a superhero. His
play thing, whatever it's called. For those of you that don't know who's listening, I am not a mom, so I don't know all the lingo, like what he might be strapped into right now.
He's in a really cute onesie right now.
Maybe with some dinosaurs on it.
Buffalo, like no, that. It's got buffalo plaid. It's like super cute. I just did a 6-month photo shoot today.
So cute. Love it. So excited.
Did it in front of the Christmas tree. He's got buffalo plaid with jeans and cute little shoes. And he's a
bear. Oh my God.
His little teddy bear.
Cute. So good, so good. So okay, I want to get into some of our questions here. Going back to before you were a mom, what was your plan, quote unquote, for as far as business versus starting a family? Did life go as planned?
Yeah, I'd say mostly. Like, yeah. So my husband and I got married in 2015. Mm-hmm. And about that time, we were considering a family. So I guess this would be 6 years ago. And I was already doing a commute from Linwood to downtown, so either Bellevue or Seattle, on the regular for contract.
Like 35, 40 minutes for people.
Sometimes an hour, hour and a half. Yeah. And I was like, this sucks so bad. And then, you know, you have paper parking or find parking or figure out bus situation. It's just sucked.
Yeah.
So I kind of like my loose business plan, I guess you could say, would be like, how do I not have an hour and a half commute? How do I make a 6-figure salary and be a stay-at-home mom and not have to pay as much for childcare? And then how do I also futuristically, once they start school, how do I not be an hour and a half away from them if they have a snot nose or something happens at school? An hour and a half away is just wasn't acceptable to me.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my loose business plan of like, okay, this is what I want for my life, our life, my family's life. And I'm going to work towards that. And so I guess you would say I'm doing all of those things. Yes, I'm paying a little bit of childcare for my first son. You know, he's in daycare, preschool from, you know, 7 to 3, Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. But I think that's an acceptable compromise to my plan, because he gets, you know, to play with 7 to 8 other children every day. And it's good for social skills, and it's good for sharing skills. And I think that's a good thing for him. So that's
kind of, let's not discount the fact that it's also good for mom and dad. Like,
well, it's also don't mom and
push that under the rug. Like, I know that there, we'll get to this as well. There's a little bit of mom guilt or parent guilt sometimes putting kids in daycare when they're young or whatever, but like, you got to do what you got to do. And part of that means like having someone care for your kid, whether it's a nanny or a daycare or whatever, whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's just these days it takes two incomes to make it, you know, in this world these days.
Yeah.
The lifestyle that we will, okay, for the lifestyle that we wanted to have, it takes two incomes.
Yeah. And to be able to support your kids, just like, not just the basics, like putting a roof over their head and feeding them, but like sending them to college.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's lots of things that I want to be able to give my children that perhaps I didn't have. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, would like to, you know, yes, provide a little bit more than, you know, some of those things that I didn't have. Like, I didn't get to go to college on mom and dad's dime.
You paid for yourself pretty much.
I paid for myself.
Yeah.
But there's obviously, I think that's part of every generation. They always want to do more for their kids every generation.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so yeah, that's kind of what I want to do. So, I mean, I'm definitely now that I'm so close to their future schools or now so close to their, I mean, I can be much more involved. Mm-hmm. And much more, I can also, as a business owner, you know, kind of evolve my schedule around to be more available for chaperoning or this or that, so that I want to be involved with their school or not.
Yeah. And it's the fact that you're a business owner, like you do make your own schedule. So if you did ever want to or need to, you could rejigger your schedule so that you have, maybe you have more days off in the future because of PTA stuff, or maybe you work different hours because of soccer schedule or something like that. So
precisely.
You have the power and the flexibility to change things around. Mm-hmm. But I think even if you work a normal 9-to-5, or if you don't have that power of flexibility, there's still ways as a mom who works and has kids or a kid. Yeah, you can make it work. It's all about time management and stress management and reacting in being proactive versus reactive, I think, in a lot of ways. Like, you plan your days really pretty airtight, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have your working hours, you have your morning routine, you schedule meetings, you have your specific amount of time for workouts, time with family is scheduled.
Because like from 7 to 3, I'd be hyper productive.
Yeah.
So it's like very like, all right, let's go.
And that's why you can have those working hours that you really have a harsh cutoff time, is because like, you know, you have to be productive because you don't get to work past that. You've made that rule for yourself. And I think that's really healthy. And it's a way to stay more productive, because if, for those of us who work from home, especially if we say like, oh, well, I could just like kind of slack off today. And then like, I can always work tonight if I really want to, like I do that sometimes. I'm guilty of it, but it's something that you can really get lost in, I think, when you start to just do it more and more and make it a habit. Then all of a sudden, oh shit, I'm working like every night and I'm on my laptop until like I go to bed, which is no way to live, right?
It's not good practice. And so I just, you know, we'll get there eventually someday too, as far as like our fitness discipline, right? So being, you know, so disciplined with our food or workout regimens, you know, I've kind of probably, I kind of brought that into other parts of my life with that kind of discipline. Yeah.
Exactly. So why, next question is, what did you do gearing up for baby number one? So you were not a mom, you had no experience. What were some of the things you prepared as far as your business side of things, in order to be able to do both when you had that first baby?
Just kind of winging it.
I know, that's why I asked that question.
So let's see, when Caden was born, I had a idea that probably didn't work out as well that I wanted it to. I had my friend, Stephanie, I kind of gave her my reins of like, okay, here's my email and here's my project list and this is what I'm at and da 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 da. And the baby could come at any time, but here you go, Steph. But, and then I was trying to find a contractors that would help, but I hadn't really vetted them. They were through some referrals and I didn't really know them that well. And so I tried to tee myself up for success, but at the end of the day, either I wasn't good at letting go of control, or Stephanie, you know, had a full-time gig and three kids of her own at that time. So between, you know, her schedule and the contractor didn't really work out that great, and Amber not being able to let go, and then like not knowing when the baby was going to come, and there were still projects like with due dates too. It all kind of like came together, and Amber was working as soon as she came home from the hospital with the laptop in her lap with the baby. I did that.
So
good. That's what I did.
That wasn't a fun time.
It wasn't like worse either, because like I love what I do too. Yeah. So it wasn't like the worst thing ever either. But I don't know, I just made it work. I was, you know, nursing a baby and healing and making business happen.
Yes, you definitely were. And I think it taught you a lot of lessons, because how were things different when you had Easton come along, baby number two?
Yeah, I knew I kind of like had set my, I knew it was going to be harder with two. And so I knew kind of like about 3 or 4, I would say 4 months before I was due, I really had to put a better plan in place to make this all better, because looking at my, you know, looking at the year that I had earlier this year. So Easton was born late June. So about February, I was already kind of forecasting a pretty significant year with significant projects and didn't want to forego those. So I knew I had to start making a better plan. So I reached out to you, Rachel, to kind of help out with some of the admin and various other projects, and then kind of like task oriented, like I need you to help me find really good contractors. You know, I need help with a logo designer, I need a website designer, that new sketch, and you know, some production type marketing and a PowerPoint designer.
Don't forget that PowerPoint.
I was like, I need these key roles in order to make my business keep moving through having a baby and being pregnant and then postpartum. You know, you had helped me really kind of go through all these resumes, and we did some good interviewing, and I think we got some rock solid people that were better fit for my company. And then, you know, we had you to do various admin roles as well. So then we had done a really clear plan of like telling all my current clients, you know, that baby was coming and this is what to expect. And so we kind of teed them all up really well. And then, yeah, that's kind of how we did it differently this year, was having someone like an operating manager like yourself, and having rock solid contractors to help with the work. I think that was be the big difference between last time and this time.
Well, you know, we did that like all with plenty of time. I think that was a big thing, is like, I know it felt a little rushed, but at the same time, like, we did it, you know, 4 months out from the baby, when you were still like rocking and rolling and you were able to be productive and everything like that. So I think just the forethought on everything and making sure that we had those super solid contractors that were not only good at what they did, like good at designing a PowerPoint or building one, good at logos, good at web design, but people that were also a good culture fit with Amber Design. You know, you're not only doing this because you wanted to, you know, set yourself up for having a little break with having the baby, but also because you're building your business and you're growing it, and you want to be one day at a level where you're more of an agency with people working for you, and, you know, you can take on bigger and more projects and things like that. So I think knowing that was also part of the goal. So that's why we really were picky about the contractors.
I think the work this year also kind of forced my hand. It was just kind of like it all kind of forced my hand this year, whether between the baby and my business, you know, being my third year as a full-time solopreneur. So like third year into that, or fourth year rather, and then baby coming, I think. And then the projects that I was getting, it kind of all forced my hand. So baby or not baby, I almost probably would have had to have done this.
Yeah, I think so too.
Knowing the baby was coming, I think just kind of was like a nice D-day to make it happen. Yeah. Almost.
Because so much of the time when we know that there's things that we need to do in our business, it like we put them off sometimes, right? Because like, well, I need this, right? But I could just keep doing it myself. Like, I could just do this. It's fine. Like, I can wait a little longer. But the more you do that, the farther away you are from your goals of building your business and growing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think having Ethan was like another nice, like, okay, by June, I've got this now. So it's like, okay, there's no more messing around. It's making this happen.
Mm-hmm. And I think mindset wise, you grew a lot too from Caden to Easton, because I remember with Caden, I wasn't working for you, but obviously we were close. And I remember you feeling so much pressure to perform and be there just as much as you were before him. And then with Easton, I definitely felt like you had taken a little bit of more of a step back and just a breath. You were able to breathe a little bit more. You didn't take like a full on maternity leave or anything, but you took like a couple weeks of like, I am not going to be on my phone all day. I'm taking email off my phone. You only really checked email once a day, if not once every few days for the first few weeks. And I think that really helped you be able to just be present with your kids and also take care of yourself. Cause let's face it, having a baby, you're not bouncing back physically the next day. So like, yeah, you gotta heal physically and mentally.
Yeah. A little bit of both. It's a little traumatic for everybody.
Yeah.
That's a little understatement. Any mom out there is chuckling to herself right now.
Yeah. It's like, you're not like bouncing off the wall, like doing your sprints or, you know, workouts or anything like that. Like, you got to take time to take care of yourself and heal, and putting the stress of owning a business and like running it full speed ahead right after having that baby, probably not the best thing. So I'm really glad that you didn't do that.
And we kind of got ahead of some things. Like with the first baby, I had some really bad like postpartum anxiety, and I called it like postpartum, like OCD is what they called it.
Yes.
Clinically. And so I had some like pretty rough patches to work through my first baby. So I was like, kind of like, all right, well, that's what happened with my first baby. I better
do better. How do I avoid that? Cause that sucks.
I don't want to go back through that. That sucked.
Yeah. Well, I think you did a good job. I mean, that's how we have to go through life with anything, right? We have to see what happened and reflect on it and then decide, okay, I'm going through a phase that's going to be similar to that. And how do I make it better?
Yeah. So let's mitigate it, right?
Mm-hmm. So I know these are the things that went wrong, or these are the ways that I maybe wasn't the best at, or things that I wasn't the best at. Now I know. So these are the things X, Y, and Z that I need to do and take care of to avoid that. You can't just wing it again and hope for the best.
Now, even this year, because I had that like OCD crazy anxiety bits, I even hired a house cleaner to come clean my house like every 3 weeks to a month. Cause I was like, cause it would like drive me nuts. That it was just like a constant thing that I couldn't like let go of in my first baby. So this next one, I was like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And also, this is not how I want to spend my Saturdays right now with two young babies.
Like, I want to spend it seeing reindeer and going to the
zoo. Right now, I'm choosing to budget that in and afford that right now. Cause I'm like, that's just not how I want to spend my Saturdays, like, you know, cleaning toilets and doing floors.
I do not blame you. Okay.
So trying to do it between naps and with two babies, like, hell no.
No, definitely not.
Hard pass.
So kind of that works into one of my next questions. What are some of the key elements to your day as a working mom that helps you do it all? We touched a little bit on just scheduling and keeping an airtight schedule, but maybe go a little deeper into that.
Oh, I have like the best husband ever.
He is pretty great.
He's a pretty key element to this making this possible.
Yeah.
So my husband also works from home. And so honestly, we're able to tag team the infant, tag team Easton all day. So we kind of look at each other's schedules and like, okay, I got meetings in the morning or I got things in the afternoon or whatever it is. And we do a really good job of communicating, you know, between nap times with Easton and, you know, who's going to do like, Kate, you know, Easton duty or whatever. So we just tag team the baby all day.
Yeah.
With good. Like feedings and changings and whatever he needs.
And then when you have, you know, as far as your, let's see, like how you schedule things like appointments and things like that. Do you just do the same thing with tag team?
We kind of do them also kind of, you know, he's pretty, Easton is pretty like scheduled, you know, babies kind of get on a sleeping schedule of sorts. So you kind of know when they're going to be down for naps. So you kind of purposefully, intentionally plan meetings accordingly.
Yes. Yeah. So do you guys share a schedule? Like, do you share your calendar so you know what's on each other's calendars?
Yeah. Nolan and I, we both have our privy to each other's work calendars. So we can kind of like plan each other. Like we will look like,
oh, I see he has a meeting. I'll make sure to not have a meeting at the same time.
Precisely. Yeah. So like Sunday night, we'll kind of go through our work schedules and like kind of pre-plan the week out a little bit and kind of work it out if there needs to be anything. And then, because sometimes, you know, he has to go down to Portland or he's got to go, you know, to California on like a whim. And so sometimes you have to have like rejigger schedules and just make it possible.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think that's a super key part of it is having a partner who is supportive of your goals and is also going after their own and you guys and like communication is huge.
Right.
You have to make sure that you're on the same page and have, you know, as well as being like on top of each other's schedules, also just like the day, like group norms is something that a lot of people talk about, like in corporate settings, especially with teams, but like you guys have your own set of couple norms or partner norms of things that are non-negotiables and things that are just like how you both like to have things done and like how the day should go. Like you do that with your schedules, but you also like you both sign off pretty much at that end of the day for the most part. And then you have some family time and then you both have your specific like alone time. Like I know you often work out at slightly different times, right?
Sometimes. Yeah.
You have a home gym in your garage.
Right. Exactly.
So you guys have those things that you do for yourself and you allow each other to do for each other. Right.
Like Nolan is doing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu right now, a couple nights a week.
That's right.
Yeah, so he does like that or, yeah. So we're kind of like we make time for each other, our family, and ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And you tell each other like, hey, I feel like I need this right now. And I need to, you know, I'm not getting this, whatever it is, X, Y, and Z. I need to get this in order for me to stay sane and still be a good mom and do business and whatnot.
You know, Nolan had to go to Portland and then down to Fresno last week, Thursday and Friday. And so Amber took off to go to the spa all day with her girlfriends on Saturday. So
I think that's a good compromise. I think it is.
So, you know, we just kind of Amber gets her time. Nolan gets his, even though his is for work, but you know, we kind of wiggle room that just a touch.
Yeah, definitely. So speaking of that, what are some other ways that you practice self-care and avoiding, in the same realm, avoiding mom guilt when you do it?
I really like going to, the spa. I really like, you know, working out. I really enjoy just time with friends. So I just make time for that, you know, phone calls and hangouts. I think I'm really cognizant about making time, for those things. And then I just got to put my earmuffs on when it comes to mom guilt. You know, I'm not doing it the way their way. I'm doing it my way. My way is like this interesting hybrid that is career mom at home. Mm-hmm. And, it's not right or wrong. No one's way is right or wrong or different. It's just the way that I'm doing it. You know, some moms, you know, have a career and kids go to daycare and they go to work. You know, some moms stay home and that's their work. With children, and mine's not neither of those things. Mine's like this interesting right in between. And that's the way that we've chosen to do it.
Yeah. And you have to, I think just like any big goal that we go after, you have to be okay with the fact that like, I'm making a choice to do it this way. And I know it's going to work because I'm doing it and I care about my kids and I care about my business and I care about myself, mm-hmm. and being very confident in the fact that that's your way of doing things. And you don't have to do it the way that other people do it. Sometimes it's hard because some people are very adamant that you should be doing it a certain way. And they might give you lots of unsolicited advice about said way. Have you gotten any of that lately? Or did you mostly just get that with first baby?
I got a lot of that probably more with the first baby. And I think the second baby, I just didn't ask for their thoughts.
Yep. Or you actively find ways to avoid getting the unsolicited advice. I think we get pretty good at that. I know I've gotten good at that as far as like with fitness goals and stuff like that. You know, I just don't give them the opportunity to give me the unsolicited advice. I don't need
it. Like, this is what I'm doing. And I kind of like, I don't really. Yep. So Nolan and I are doing it our way and it's working for us and it's just a way. And that's kind of the end of it.
Yeah. I think you're doing a great job. I think, and like, you know, your kids are good kids. It's working, right?
Whatever we're doing, they're healthy and happy and it's working. Yeah. So, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Now, if there is something sideways, well then we might need to adjust, but right now, so far so good. And we're doing just fine.
Yeah. I was a kid of not only a working mom, but a working mom in grad school. So she literally brought me to class with her as an infant. So and I turned out pretty good. I work from home. I support myself. I, you know, have
you're great independent, you're doing your things.
Yeah, exactly. So it's might not be ideal for some people and some people might not be able to like work their minds around it, but it's all about how you think about it and how you plan for it too. It
might not be traditional, but it's, what does that even mean?
Yeah. Especially nowadays, it's like so many people have so many different ways of doing things.
Like, so I brought my baby to the gym the other day and he was like in the treadmill next to me while I'm doing the cardio or he's, you know, next to the pec deck on the ground in his car seat. And I'm doing like a chest and shoulder workout with my friend at the gym. Like
just the gym I go to, people regularly bring their kids and all the little kids are like on the couches on their iPads or like playing with the dog or something like that. And it's like, you know, as long as you're taking care of them outside of that, you know, who cares if they're
fine,
chilling, they get to see you going after your own goals, which is really important. They get to grow. Your kids
is fine.
are going to grow up with a mom and a dad who are going after their goals, going after their dreams and doing everything they can to support their kids, support their families, be happy with themselves, with each other and with the family. And I think that's those are really important lessons to learn. And the kids that grow up with parents who like give everything up to them or for them, they're at a disservice, honestly.
I think it creates a much happier household.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. You as a parent don't feel like you're just living for them.
Yeah. You need to live for yourself too, because it's right. Otherwise, you know, you what happens when the kid is gone?
Regret. Yeah. I think you live in regret, and I think you end up like just, yeah, missing out on other pieces of life. So yeah. This is just the way we're doing it. And I think it's so far, we're pretty happy about good. It. Yeah. My husband and I still like smittenly love each other. We love exactly. Our kids, and we still have really great relationships with our friends and family.
Yeah, you do. I was definitely, it was a surprise, because as a person, as an adult with no kids, I don't plan on having kids. Mm-hmm. It's hard for people like me to have friends sometimes with kids, because so much of the time they just totally disappear, or it's just really hard for them to also put in effort in the relationship, because all of a sudden, like, you want to, like, as a mom or a dad, you want to hang out with other parents with kids because it's just easier, right? Mm-hmm. And, or you make it easier on yourself right. That way. But yeah. I think you and Nolan both like did a great job of not doing that and still maintaining relationships with parents and non-parents, you know?
I think it comes down to priorities. And I think that kind of teased back to self-care. Like I am Amber. Like I'm Amber without kids too.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice also just being able to have that break from your kids and going out to hang out with your friends and not missing out on those, you know, long-time friendships and relationships just because you have children.
Yeah. So yeah, on the flip side, if your friends that don't have kids are like not into hanging out with you with a kid, then, you know, maybe they're
that's different. But like, I'm very cognizant about those relationships. And I really, I feel like I go up and beyond and like really fostering those relationships and making sure I take care of those relationships.
Yeah, you do. What are some of the ways that you actively do that? Like, what are some of the things that you kind of, whether it's a rule you set for yourself or a practice or a habit that you have?
I think all my friends, I don't know if they love it or hate it, but like I probably like every Friday or most Fridays wish them happy Friday and ask them whatever the hell they're doing on the weekend. And then I ask them how their weekend was on like Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. And they might not like it. I don't know if they like it or not, but like, I am constantly like just staying like, how are you? What are you up to? What'd you do this weekend? You know, how you feeling? And, you know, I stay up on whether they're interviewing for a new job or whether they're moving or whether, you know, what, you know, whatever they're into or whatever their ailments are. Like, I care and I want to know. And I don't know. Stay on top of it.
That's the way to do it. Otherwise, how is it going to happen? How are you going to know?
And because I don't just let their texts, you know, reply back in 4 or 5, 10 days later. Like, I'm like, I respond in a timely manner. They are a priority to me and I care. And so I don't let them float to the bottom and never respond. So I'm also, I think, really good about responding in a mindful amount of time. Mm-hmm. Cause I think that's another thing that even though we're all busy. Yes, we are all busy. You just make time for people. And I think that's what people forget to do.
Yeah. They time manage when it comes to their kids or their work or one thing or another, but they don't necessarily time manage for everything. And they set certain things like kids and work as non-negotiables, right? But they don't do the same thing for their friends or for...
Well, it's like, I know you got my text message because I know you text back your mom, your husband, your coworker, but you let mine's not a priority to you. And so that's what that tells me because like, I'm like, I know you get text messages all the time. You just chose not to respond to mine.
Yeah. Thanks. And that's when you realize like, okay, is this person giving in the same amount of effort as me? Maybe they're having a tough time and they're going through a hard time. Maybe that it's just a one-off thing. But if it's generally happening all the time, then there's a problem, right? And you have to figure out where you want to put your energy. And if where you're putting your energy isn't reciprocating energy back, then
maybe it's time to fizzle out.
Yeah. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, chapters of your life and people come and people go. I don't got a lot of time for that shit. So I'm going to put my energy where it's valued.
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to that time management. Like
I want to feel valued and appreciated. And if they don't value and appreciate my check-in every once in a while, and they don't reciprocate on it. Well, then it's like, forget this. This isn't Why do I always gotta be the instigator?
Exactly. Yeah. There should be a give and take on both sides for sure. And
you see one-sided text message bubbles, it's like, yeah, this is not healthy.
Yeah.
Time to go.
Oh man. Anyhow. Anyway, let's see. We talked about self-care. Last question for you. If one of your sons asked you one day why you wanted to continue your business like you have while raising them, what would you say? What would be the wisdom that you tell Caden or Easton? Like, well, darling, this is why I decided to keep growing and building my business and not stopping and not taking no names. This is why.
I mean, I love what I do, and I don't think that should stop because you have children. And that's, you know, life is full of lots of things, and they come and go, and I don't know, you should be able to do it all in your own way.
Yeah, you should.
And sometimes you've got to give, but like, I just chose to show them that a strong, independent, empowered woman, mom, who loves her career and loves what she does. And I'm going to show them how to do it too. Like how to be, you know, show them how to be strong, independent people. Mm-hmm. That are goal and career oriented, but also balance that, you know, you can be both. You can be a parent and a career person, and that shouldn't matter if you're, you know, a dad or a mom.
Yeah. There's some sacrifices that you'll have to make regardless of where you're at with your professional journey, or if you're single or with a partner or whatever, but everyone has a different way that they have to figure out how to make it work.
Yeah. I think it's going to show them that, this is a weird phenomenon. Working mom. You don't say working dad. It's just a funny thing. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, why do I have to say working?
There's still a kind of a weird divide.
Hey, guys don't say that shit. Like,
it's true.
Oh yeah, I'm a working dad. Like, no shit, Sherlock. Like most dads do that. I don't know why that's a thing, right? Like, I don't know why I have to even say working mom. I'm a mom and I work.
I know that I'm not going to call the podcast working moms.
No, you're not.
Unless it's for clickbait. Because if it's so common,
I guess so. Maybe
we'll see.
I don't know. It's just a weird thing. It's just like, why is it? It doesn't go the other way.
Yeah. Like, no, absolutely.
I don't know a man out there that's like, oh yeah, I'm a working dad.
Yeah.
What? Nobody says that.
Well, and the whole, like, you know, I know that you're going
to
have
stigma with women, like women, there's like this weird thing with women that are, you know, they have to like clarify, oh yeah, I work.
Well, that you have to, yeah.
You're not just a stay at home or VP of home operations, rather. I like that much better than stay-at-home mom.
Oh, yeah.
VP of home operations.
Exactly. I think manager. A lot of moms just like, or people in general, think of women as needing to, like, their life goal should be to get married and have kids. And that's something that, like, I've struggled with, as like when I get the unsolicited feedback that, oh, you'll want kids eventually, stuff like that. You know, maybe I will, maybe I won't, but pretty sure I won't. And, you know, that's okay.
Ain't none of my business.
And I love, like, I think part of the reason that, you know, I love your approach to parenthood and momming is that, you know, it wasn't your life goal to have kids and have a family, but it's like, it's part of your life goal. It is a segment of, you know, you wanting to grow up and raise a family and have a business and love what you do, love yourself, love your husband.
You were to ask me in my early 20s if I wanted to have kids, I'd have been like, hell no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I didn't want to have kids. It wasn't until I met my now partner that, you know, I was like, maybe. And then it kind of had to work on me a little bit. So, yeah. I mean, it probably wasn't until my late 20s I was like, with my now life partner, that I was like, yeah, let's do kids.
I want a bunch of youth running around.
And even still, I was like, I don't know about this. They're hella expensive. I don't know.
Yeah.
We waited because we knew we were too selfish with our time and our money. Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure you had enough of it. And
out of our system, right? Yeah. Too. Like, we were just too selfish with our time and our money doing what we wanted to do with ourselves.
Yeah. You took a lot of good vacations.
Good vacations. You know, we both competed.
Worked on your business.
We had a grand time competing. We had a lot of fun together, and we kind of like made sure we kind of got some of our bucket list items off the list before we decided to embark on raising a family.
Yeah. Well, I think you did a good job. Any last words of wisdom, closing thoughts for anyone, you know, a mom or a dad who is, you know, heading out on the journey of parenthood while also working, or maybe they're currently a parent working and they're struggling to just feel okay about it. Any advice?
Communication, communication, communication with your partner.
Yeah.
That's what it takes. Setting boundaries, saying what you need.
Mm-hmm. Not right? Just bottling it up inside.
Yep. Communicating what you need, out of your partner. Your needs and wants. Yeah. Or even just saying the simple words, I need attention.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, simple things, even just that.
Yeah. You shouldn't be afraid to ask for that.
You shouldn't, this is going to be like a whole weird segment probably on itself, but like, you shouldn't stop dating your partner.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that kind of leads back to one of my clients of the year, never stop wooing your mm-hmm. partner.
Yes, exactly.
So I think that's one thing that my husband and I do very well.
I think so too.
I think because communication, don't be so quick to get angry.
Mm-hmm. Hear each other out, listen more than you talk.
Yep. I think that's going to be your key to most of the problems or challenges you face in family life.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, I think hopefully anyone who's a parent or a working parent or somewhere in between got something out of this episode. It's a little different because we've mostly talked about just the business side of things, graphic design. This podcast, we want to really make it into kind of all-encompassing, like being a business owner, being someone in business. Obviously, Amber is a graphic designer and she's a graphic design agency owner. So we touch a lot on graphic design and just visual design in general. So hopefully listeners and subscribers of this podcast are getting a lot out of it so far. But if you do love it, please leave us a review, give us a 5-star rating, tag at Awesome Amber Design on Instagram when you listen. And let us know if you have any feedback for us. If you want to hear on a certain subject, anything you want on graphic design, we want to hear about it so we can give you what you want. Amber, anything else?
No, it's been fun. Thanks a lot.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everyone. We will see you on the next one.
Cheers.